Thursday the 6th of November, Chesh Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Shalom Siegel, Avraham, Fathering a World.
Towards the end of this week's Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha, we find the change, the transformation of Avraham to Avraham. And the prophet says, no longer will you be known as Avraham, rather the Hayah Shemcha Avraham, from now on you will be known as Avraham. Because Avraham in the Chatecha has now made you the father of a multitude of nations. The Gemara at the end of the first parak of Bracha says that from here we learn out that somebody who calls him by his former name, Avraham, transgresses both in Aseh and Eloisaseh, both a positive and a negative commandment. Now, so whether this is the right or the Rabbanon, the Morgan Avraham, Pri Chodosh already speak about this, but either way you see there's a very severe infringement by referring to him by his former title. And the question is obviously why. Why by Avraham more than, let's say, Sorrow, right? So, right, Sorrow and Yaakov and Yisrael. Why there? Why by Avraham more than anything else? So, that's my chance to, in the next half hour, so let's present the Sassim Mahalik to try and answer this question, and we'll come back to this question at the end. At the beginning of Kehada, Shlomo HaMelech, his famous first words over there, that everything in this world is Hevel. Everything in this world is what you translate in English as futile. And there's a very basic question. If everything in this world is actually Hevel, then how can you make a broch on it? Right? You take an osh, you take an apple, and you say, Baruch HaTo Hashem, I'm giving Shabbat Re'edah to Hashem over this most luscious, tasty looking apple. And what are you saying? But this apple is actually Hevel. Like, can you imagine going up to a king and singing his praises over the most grandeur, beautiful looking rubbish stuff? That's what you're doing over here. You're taking an apple and saying, it's Hevel. So what sort of Shabbat Re'edah is it? So in order to answer this, we first have to redefine what exactly Hevel is. As I said, in English it's translated as futile. Whether that's the most accurate translation, we'll see. As in English, if you want to know the definition of a word, so you take out your dictionary and you look up what the word means. So too, if you want to know what Shlomo HaMelech defines as Hevel, we have to take a look in his own works, and we don't have to look very far, we'll take a look in Eishes Chayim. In Eishes Chayim every Friday night we say, Sheker Achin Ve'Hevel HaYofi. The Yofi is Hevel, right? Beauty is futile. The Vilna Gaon asks, how can Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, make such a declaration that beauty is futile? The Torah itself praises the Yofi, praises the beauty of Yosef HaTzadik, Rachel Imenu. So how can he come along and say it's Hevel? Let me give you a moshul, and perhaps an everyday example. If a person, I'm sure you've all seen at some point in your life, you've seen a beautiful array of flowers, a flower bed, right? Breathtaking. But yet, I'm sure you've never seen anyone in their right mind go over to those flowers and start hugging and kissing these flowers. Yet, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the coast of Ma'arovi, right? The bare stones. And you see people there crying and hugging and kissing the wall. And a tourist, let's say an African tourist, is walking past and never doesn't know what the wall means to us. He looks as if they're mad. This wall is just bare stones. What are you doing? Where's the beauty in these stones? And the answer is obviously because they're not hugging, they're not embracing the bare stones, they're embracing the meaning within. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying to us over here. Hevel HaYofi, Yofi itself, Yofi is just an external beauty, is Hevel, is worthless. But if Isha Yirat Hashem, if the Isha is always a connotation of the good, the Medrash Ne'eron says it's the good. If the body has within it, Yirat Hashem, has a pure neshama, has good midas within it, it's got a beauty within, then he says Halol. And even that which you see on the outside, the external beauty, then it has worth. Again, let's take another moshul. Right, a man walks into a shop, and he's looking to buy a set of silver candlesticks for his wife. So he looks around the various designs, and he eventually sets his eyes on one of them. And he takes a look at the price tag. The price tag says £400. He almost says he's quite tight on the budget at the moment. So he thinks, for the sake of shop and buy, what can I do? So before he makes up his mind, he takes a look around just to check if perhaps there's another design which will catch his eye. And his eyes fall on a certain design, very, very similar to the first one. And he takes a look at this price tag, and it says £70. He says, well, what a bargain. Maybe it's second. He looks over, he can't see anything wrong with it. He says, fine, I'll take it. Takes over to the counter. The shopkeeper, in the meantime, he's been watching how the events have unfolded. He says to him, before you leave the shop, I don't want any misconceptions. Let me explain to you the difference. This cheaper set, £70, is what we call silver plated. What they do is they take a cheap rock, they cover it with silver, and that's why it's cheap, because it's not solid silver. If a bit of the silver peels off, you see the cheap brass underneath, it's worthless, right? But you take this more expensive set, a £400 set, this set is what we call solid silver. That means the further in you go, the purer the silver, protected from the elements. What you see on the outside is in the end. It gives you a taste of what's within. That just gives you a reflection of what's within. Now, Shlomo Amar, that's the same thing over here. If the yofi is just an external beauty which is covering over, it's a mask, it's a facade, it's covering over a rotten corpse, then it's havel, it's worthless. But if Isha Yiras Hashem, if inside there's a spiritual beauty within, there's this Yiras Hashem within, then he's a salog. And when you see on the outside, it just gives you a taste. If you want, it's a physical manifestation of this spiritual beauty. That's what Shlomo Hamelech is saying over here. By the same token, I think that's what he's saying at the beginning of Kohelet. The word Hevel, what does the word Hevel mean? The word Hevel, according to what we've just explained, means it's lacking anything spiritual. It's lacking a battery, the battery life within. The word Hevel, if you read it backwards, spells out Bolo, right? Beis Lamentei, which means withering, dying, right? Anything in this world, says Shlomo HaMelech, is finite. Be it animal life, plant life, human beings, we're finite. Therefore, everything within this world is bottom. To a certain extent, it's dying. It comes into the world and it'll leave this world. So therefore, says Shlomo HaMelech, that's what it means, it's heaven. So we ask, how can you make a bracha? The answer is, by making the bracha, you give it the Yiras Hashem. By making the bracha, you give it the pnimius. You associate it with Hashem. You acknowledge it comes from Hashem. And with that, you give it chias. With that, you give it life. We'll soon see, says Hashem, what exactly this life is. But that's the message over here. If you take a look at the Armagoggle, let's say that commonly understood as the Mediterranean, and you see this beautiful expanse of blue sea, and that's all you see in it, you see a breathtaking blue ocean, that's all you see, then it's Hevel, says Shlomo HaMelech. But if when you look at that ocean, a person sort of is aroused within him to say, Mor Abu Ma'asef HaShem, he sees this ocean, he says, wow, look at what our HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and then he recites the Baruch Baruch Atah Hashem. With that he associates it, he connects out with Hashem, with that he brings chias into the world, he gives it life. The question is though still, what exactly is this chias? What is this life? So in order to answer this, let's go to the next stage. Let's go to the to a well-known halacha that every day a person is mechuyav, a person is obligated to recite 100 brachos. And this takana dates back all the way back to David HaMelech. In his days, there was an awful margefa, a terrible plague, which was befalling Klal Yisrael. What was this plague? That every day 100 people were dying. So he says, look, 100 people are dying every day, so therefore I'm going to enact a takana that everyone within Klal Yisrael should make 100 brachos every day. With this, hopefully we'll stop the plague. See, Chazal, this is based on the pasuk, Mo Hashem Elokecha Asher Me'imoch. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? And see, Chazal, Ad Yekeh Mo El Ameo. Don't read it as Mo, rather as Meo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you to make 100 brachos, and as the prophet finishes off, the tov lach, it's for your own good. And if you want, we're going to refer back to this later on, so I'll put it in at this point. The Meir Ibn Galway says the word more is not just an extra aleph there. He says if you actually switch the word more in the process of atzah, the Gemara in Shabbos mentions this, an aleph for a tov, a beis for a shin, gimel for a shin, it's not just a play on numbers, the Gemara does this in Shabbos. If you switch the mem goes for a yud. And if you switch the hey goes for a tzadi. Yud and tzadi is 100. We're going to come back to this later on, the discussion. Right? The word more is not just, as I said, it's not just adding an other. The word more intrinsically has within it 100. The process of atbash, which the Gemara already alludes to. So there's three very basic questions on this medrash. And that is, number one, let's start, go stage by stage. First of all, the plague itself. Was it really a plague? The Marazu already makes a calculation. He says there must have been at that time, there must have been around 6 million people, the population of Klal Yisrael. He says for 100 people to die every day, is that a plague? Is that a margefa? It may be above average, maybe below average, but remember babies are being born every day. You wouldn't call that a margefa. Question number two is, why exactly did he saw the plague, and he says let's be stuck in 100 prophets. Why 100 prophets? If you're looking for skulas for life, maybe everyone should check the mezuzah. So man yubel yamechem, right? That's the skula for longevity. Or maybe everyone should look to be mekayim mitzvah shiloah hakem, sending away the mother bird. Also leman yarichon yomecho, kibud avayim. All of these are skulas for long life. Why 100 prophets more than anything else? And finally, the third question is: what exactly is there a deeper connection between this pasuk of Ma'ashem Elokecha and the 100 prophets? Well, it's just dumb. It's an asmach. It's just a play on the words. So there's a Gemara in Brachos. There's a Gemara in Brachos at the beginning of the sixth parak, which says that somebody who benefits from this world without making a bracha, he has stolen both from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's stolen from Knesset Yisrael. So Rashi, what is he stolen from Hashem? What have you stolen from Hashem? So if I were to ask you, you'd probably say the Moshe takes an apple and eats the apple without making a bracha. You'd probably say, what is he stolen? He's stolen the apple, right? Especially in light of what the Gemara just previously said. That prior to making a bracha, the prophet says, "Lashem Oretz Meleya, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Post making a bracha, the Oretz Masan Meleya, and it belongs to man. you'd expect that it's the apple which the person has stolen. Says Rashi, no, he's stolen the bracha. The bracha is what he's stolen from Hashem. It's rather surprising. Why has he stolen the bracha more than the apple? What does it mean he's stolen the bracha from Hashem? Rashi then continues, what exactly is he stolen from Knesset Yisrael? What is he stolen from Klal Yisrael? So again, you expect maybe he's stolen the apple, right? Maybe that's what he's stolen. Says Rashi, no, he hasn't stolen the apple. He's stolen all the potential bracha which would have come into the world. Because when a person makes a bracha, he takes this apple and he makes a bracha, that brings with it into the world another 2,000 apples. Somewhere else in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours in another 2,000 apples. By him not making this bracha, he's stolen those 2,000 apples. And why has he stolen that more than if a person doesn't daven in the morning? When a person says in the morning, he says the bracha Baruch Aleinu to daven for good parnasa, for good tefillah in the world, that's also a person supposed to daven every morning. And if a person doesn't bother davening, she'll say the same thing. We're all in this together. If I didn't daven, I've fallen short of my responsibility. You're going to tell me I've stolen the apple I stole? I haven't stolen. So why are they here? Have I stolen? It's not the apple which I've stolen. It's the all the bracha which would have come into the world. Why more than if I don't daven? So in order to answer this, to understand this Gemara, we first have to just be marked in one yisod, and that is as follows. As we said, going back one stage, Shema HaMelech already declared everything in this world Hevel, everything in this world is Bola, is Dayan. That is as long as we do not connect it up to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. By connecting it up, associating it with Hashem, giving it its spirituality, with that, you give it Chiyus, you give it life. The reason for this is like this, that everything in this world, as we said, is physical. Physical is Bola. In order to give it its life, it has to be connected up to something spiritual. But there's an inherent problem in this. So obviously, spiritual, Gashmias and Ruchnias, they're diametrically opposed to one another. They can't really bond together, they don't go together. So what did our Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He created man, he created Adam. Adam who comprises both a guf, a body, a physical body, and the neshama, and the spiritual neshama within. What happens? The body says, right, the brain says, look, I'm hungry. The person takes this apple. The neshama, a small voice emanates and says, wait a second, before you eat this apple, you've got to make a bracha. Associates acknowledge and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this apple. By doing that, you take the physical and you connect it up to the spiritual. That's a tremendous kayak which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbues man with. As we find, Rashi says in Parashat Bereishis, that all the trees were fully grown. Already right from the start, they were already fully grown, waiting under the ground. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for Adam to come into the world and daven for rain. And when he would daven for rain, then the rain would come, they would sprout, they would come up. Again, the same idea. In order to bring Chiyus, these trees to live, for these trees to have life in them, they need the tefillah of man, they need man to associate and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When man fails to make a bracha, he takes his apple and he fails to make a bracha, he steals from Knesset Yisrael. Why does he steal from Knesset Yisrael? The answer is like this. Imagine you've got two partners in a business, and they've got a certain sum of money set aside for their business purposes. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon. So one day Reuven goes out to lunch and he takes some of the money to buy his lunch. So he comes back and Shimon's infuriated. He says, what is this? This money is set aside for our business purposes, not for you to go and to get your lunch. But what if at that lunch he was to meet potential benefactors to their business? Over that lunch he was going to have a business lunch and he was going to make them a lot of money. So obviously Shimon's not going to have any complaints there. Right? Otherwise, that's what the money's there for. But wait a second, Reuven, he was the one who enjoyed the lunch and Shimon didn't. But still, that's what the money was set aside for. So too, everything in this world, the apples, the all the food in this world, everything within this world was given for us to enjoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. And we're all business partners in this together. All of Klal Yisrael, we're all in this business together. What's the business? The business is take an apple, make a bracha with it, and you'll make a lot of money. You'll make a very big profit from that. Why? Because when you make the bracha, as we said, you connect it up to Hashem. You're like that plumber who connects up the pipes to Hashem. Hashem will then pour in the waters of bracha, and another 2,000 apples will be created. That's the chiyus which is created in the world. Right? This is the chiyus. You're going to ask me, you eat the apple. The apple's gone forever. You're right. That apple's gone forever. But the chiyus is the fact that it's now got children. A person will only live a certain number of years. The Chazal tell us that a person lives on through his children, through his talmidim. Right? Through people he's affected. Chazal say that if a person, his Chiddush HaTorah, which people repeat long after he's gone, it says, his lips still move in the grave. He's still living on to those people who are continuing his ideal. That's the chiyus. When a person makes the bracha, he creates another, so to speak, creates another, however many apples there is in the world. Whatever he's eating by making that bracha, that brings chiyus. If he takes that apple and he eats it without making the bracha, he's like the person who went to lunch and spent the money on his own, just to satisfy his own hunger. He's used the money for his own hunger as opposed to for the business. That's what it means he stole them from Klal Yisrael. And by a similar, not the same, but a similar token, that's what he stole them from Hashem. Again, let's take a Moshe. The father says to his son, look, here's £10, this is a £10 note, go down the road and buy me lunch. The lunch should only cost about £9, so the last pound you can spend on yourself. So the child goes down the road, and he goes into the shop, and he gets a bit carried away and spends all £10 on himself. He comes back to the father, and the father says, you know, that's stealing. As much as I love you, I'm going to have to take that off your pocket money. The child's a bit shocked, but he says, don't worry, how much am I going to take off from your pocket money? It won't be the full £10, it'll be £9. Why £9? Because that's what you stole from me, that's what you took from me. The £1 I was quite happy to give to you, I gave it to you, but it was a tonight, it was a condition. So you have to spend the £9 on me first. First buy me lunch, and then you can have the pound. But the pound was, for all intents and purposes, was already yours. So we have to understand, this apple, I've got a Baruch Hu who says, look, this apple I gave to you for you to enjoy, but there's a condition attached to it. If you want, somewhere inside the apple there's like a spiritual connection point. And up there in Shemayim there's a second spiritual connection point. It's just like if you want to wire up a system, you have to wire up the two connection points. So that is the job of man. That's the condition. You can enjoy the apple. The apple is for you. So Hashem, what I'm asking of you is one thing. Prior to eating the apple, make the bracha. By doing that, you're connecting it up to me. You're connecting up the pipes to me. You're associating it with me. And with that, you can then enjoy the apple. Somebody who fails to do that hasn't stolen the apple. Hashem says, the apple I created for you anyway. I created it for you to enjoy. What you've stolen is the bracha. If you want the spiritual connection point within the potential bracha which would have come into the world, the Kvod Shamayim which would have come about by you making that bracha, that's what you've stolen from me. When David HaMelech saw that 100 people were dying every day, it wasn't just 100 people that were dying every day. There's a Gittes report brought in the Sefer HaKarmel which says it was 100 brachim. It was 100 brachim which were dying every day. When a bracha dies, it's a double tragedy. When a person lives to 1995, but he's already got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, who are all continuing with his ideas, they continue on his derech, in that, as we said, through that he continues to live. It's a tragedy, but it's not as terrible as the person who dies in the bracha. The bracha connotes somebody who hasn't had the ability, hasn't had the chance to have children, to spread his Torah, to spread his wings and affect others. That's what a bracha connotes. There's a similar Gemara we find, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said about himself, that I should cry more than all the daughters of my city, all the people in my city. So the Gemara, what he was saying was like this, there were 1,000 children, 1,000 Yelodim to my father's house. 500 of them were Chachomim in Torah, and 500 of them were wise in Chochmas Yevonis, in Greek philosophy. And all of them are gone, except for two of us. That was a tremendous loss. Says Rashi, one word. What are you lodin? Says Rashi, the word bochum. What's Rashi adding? I know a yellow is a child. What does Rashi want with the word bochum? The answer is Rashi is telling us this. What was he crying? It wasn't just the fact that 998 children had died. It's 998 bochum. 998 people who have left nothing behind. Nothing to continue their legacy. Nothing to continue on with their ideals. That, as we said, is a tremendous tragedy. So David HaMelech, 100 bochum are dying every day. 100 children are dying every day without anything to continue on for them. That's a double death, if you want. If that's the case, it must be there's a lack of chiyus within Klal Yisrael. There's a lack of chiyus, there's a lack of connection to Hashem. And with that, he said, therefore I'm going to enact 100 brochas every day. The idea of 100 brochas is, as we said, bringing life into the world. Connecting it and associating it with Hashem. With that, you bring life into the world. And that was the idea of making 100 brochas. But why 100? Obviously there were 100 brochim dying every day, so 100, obviously enacted 100 brochas. But what's the significance of the number 100? So various sforim say that the 100 sforim corresponds to the 100 adonim, the 100 sockets on which the Mishkan was built. What does this mean? I'm sure we can find lots of things which have the number 100 in them. What's the connection between the two? So we think back to what exactly the adonim were constructed from. Chazal, we know they were constructed from the Machzor HaShekel. The Machzor HaShekel, which all the Klal Yisrael had to bring, that's what they were made for. Now, at the time when our Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to collect the Machzor HaShekel, it says that Moshe had a certain problem with it. Now, as for what the problem was, that's not for today. What our Kodesh Baruch Hu did was, he showed him a Masbeh HaShelesh. He showed him a fire which was enveloped in fire. What was the idea in that? The idea seems to be like this. The Machzor HaShekel is obviously a half. That's us. We're only a half. Who is our other half? That's Hashem. That's the Ish. Kav Yochel Hashem is the Ish of the Chelek. But there's something very unique about fire. If I were to take two planks of wood and I stick them together, they'll remain two planks of wood, because I can still pull them apart. They're just stuck together. Whereas if you light something on fire, the fire becomes an intrinsic part of that object. No matter what you do, unless you put out the fire will always remain with that object. You can't cut it, you can't take the fire away from the object. It stays, it becomes a part of that object. So too we, together with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we connect ourselves up to Hashem, when we acknowledge, we daven, we make brachas to Hashem, by doing that we make ourselves a part of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what a hundred Adonim signifies. They were the underpinning of the Mishkan, they were the foundation of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the place where the center point, it was the focal point around which the whole of Klal Yisrael encamped. That was the place of Asherah Shekhinah. That's where we saw, that's where we came, the Avodah was done there. That was the place where we connected with Hashem. The word Odon, right, the word for a socket is the same as the word Odon, right, for a master. The idea of the Mishkan was to realize that there is an Azayin HaOlam, to realize that there is a master to the world. That everything in this world, everything physical in this world, requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep it going. HaMechadish B'Chodim Tomit, right? You continue to will it into existence. That was the whole idea of the Mishkan. And I think that's the connection between the Pasuk, Mo'ashem Elekecha Asher Ne'imot, and the 100 Brachos. The Pasuk finishes off, Le'avo Et Hashem Elekecha. The idea of making the 100 Brachos is Le'avo Et Hashem Elekecha. In English, we translate to love Hashem your God. But again, that doesn't give over the full meaning of the word Avo. Avo is Gematria 13, the same as the word Ephod. Avo means one. Although in Hebrew they say that they're Ohiv their food, right? I've yet to meet somebody who's one with their food, right? If you can't be Ohiv, Avo connotes something, you're one with it. Havochad Amri Sobi Avo, we are one with Hashem. Hashem is one with us. That's what the word Avo means. By making the 100 brachos, by doing that, we connect ourselves up to Hashem. As we said, you bring tremendous clear into the world. That's what David Hamara saw in making this Takon. Just one more Adom, and then we can return to Avraham. The number 100 comprises, just to note, it comprises three parts to it, right? The single units, the 1 to 9, 10 to 90, and then 100, right? If you want three pipes, right? Going back to what we've spoken about up till now, it's the three pipes which connect us to Hashem, right? If you want, you could say it's the three parts of our Neshama, right? Ruchaim Velosim says in Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. It's the three parts of our Neshama which connect us to Hashem, right? It's the three pipes which man has to connect up. It's for that reason that 99 brachos is not good enough. Why is it? 99 out of 100 is not enough? The answer is no. Because somebody who's only made 99 brachos, what he's done is, he's aligned two of the pipes. He's put the ones, the singles and the tens, he's put them one on top of the other. And the third pipe, where is it? It's adjacent. It's touching, but it's not over the other two pipes. So what happens if you now pour in the water? What would happen? The water would go straight through the first pipe and miss the other two. The idea of making 100 brachos is you have to have all three pipes aligned. And once a person does that, he's complete with Hashem. With that, he brings chiyus into the world. He brings this life into the world. And I think that's the idea. That's what happened with Avraham. Avraham, as the Gemara says in Brachos, he was the first person to refer to Hashem by the title Odin. He was the first person to recognize Hashem's Odin. That's what the Gemara says there. He was the first person to come into this world and ask the crucial question: why, what? Right, what's keeping the moon from flying off? Why does the sun rise in the east each morning? Why does it set in the west? All these questions he asked and he asked and he asked, and he looked for the truth. He was looking for the reason. Why is it? What is it that is keeping all these things going? And he eventually came to the conclusion that there must be an Azayin HaOlam. There must be something in the world who is injecting life into this world, which is keeping this world going. That was the realization. This was the, if you want, the Chiddush of Avraham Avinu. And that was his life's mission. He made it his life's mission to publicize this to the world. To bring this chiyus into the world. To publicize to the world when people came to him to eat. After they ate, they said thank you to him. He said, don't thank me, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Say both as I was, and thank Hashem. Because with that's my life's mission in this world. When he came to the age 100, again, no coincidence, 100, this chiyus then manifested itself. He was now ready to sow the seeds of Klal Yisrael, the ones who were going to continue, who were going to continue his legacy, who were going to continue this avodah which he started, and that was Yitzchak. At 100, he was ready to bear Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in his 100th year, he was 99 at the time, ready to do Bris Milah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, until now your name has been Avraham. Until now your name has been Avraham. But now it's going to change to Avraham. What's the significance of this change? The answer is, first of all, realize what letter we're adding to his name is the letter He. Why the letter He? The Gemara in Menachah says that this world was created with the letter He of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And this was his life's mission, was to publicize to the world that this world was created by Hashem, and this world is continuing to exist because of Hashem. Therefore, it was the Hay which was added to his name. But if we refer back to what we said earlier, the idea of Mor, right, that which Rameh Ibn Gabbai pointed out, the word Mor in Akbash is Yud, right, it's actually Mor is Yud Tzadi. The word Avraham, it's not my idea that of splitting ideas, the Ben Ishchai already writes in Nozir, the name Avraham can be split into Eber Ham, a limb of Ham, right? Which is a limb of, based on this idea of Akbash, it's a limb of 100. It's the same letters, same men. It's a limb of 100. Previously he has been Avraham, an Eber of men, which in Akbash would spell out an Eber of Yud. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until now, you've had two of the pipes. You've had the ones and the tens, those you've had. But now you're ready to connect yourself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring chiyus into the world, to bear children. The child who will continue on your ideals, who will continue to publicize to the world, who will be the as we said, the seeds for Klal Yisrael. Now your name will be Avraham. Now you are ready to father a world. Now you are ready to be Avraham Goyim, to be the father of a multitude of nations. Now you're ready to father Klal Yisrael. That's the idea of Avraham. Avraham with an extra hay changes it from being 10 to 100. The hundred, like the 100 prophets, the 100 Adonim, the idea of 100, whatever way you're going to look at it, the idea of 100 signifies life. It signifies connection to Hashem, it signifies chiyus in the world, it signifies children. That's what the extra hay symbolizes. And it's for that reason that somebody who takes the hay out of his name is such a severe infringement. Because when a person removes the hay from his name, he's removing the chiyus from the world, he's removing the seeds from the world, the seeds of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, that's why it's seen as such a severe avail. Avraham to Avraham is removing the hay. It's reverting back to the days before Yitzchak came into the world, before we would have come into this world. Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be able to take the chizuk from the 100 prophets, connecting ourselves up to Hashem, and Be'ezus Hashem, we and all the Klal Yisrael should be zecha to Shefa al Bracha v'Atzlacha.
Amen.